Actually, it's 20 minutes. What do you want?
John says I have to say something significant. Well, I've been kind of listening to him and wondering, where do you go from here? And the big confusion that I've had most of my Christian life is, how does this thing work? What makes Christianity real? John gave me a 500-page book to read, written by a liberal. And the liberal seems to think the most important thing about Christ is what he said. Now, it's important what he said, but most of you don't know what he said. You've probably heard it, but you don't have it all stuck together. So it has to boil down to the person of Christ. And that's where most of us get confused. We end up with three gods, or two gods if you're Eastern, or no God, or one God who you don't understand. But I began to mull this thing over. And I started thinking, how has God worked with me through the years of my life? And I tried, you know, a lot of these little gimmicks, and they don't last very long. There has to be something more real and more profound than that. And I look back in the Old Testament. The Old Testament has a poured offering, which is mingled. And I said, well, why is that mingled? Probably for the reason that John said. The impure gets mingled with the pure. And when Jesus put the Last Supper before us, he gave us common elements, wine and bread. In and of themselves, they're not holy, but they can be used to bring forth in the people an awareness of God. And that's what Jesus says, as often as you take this, remember me. He didn't say, remember what I said. He said, remember me. And that didn't help much either. And I went back to my early church training where it says, given and shed for you for remission of sins. And remission is not the same as forgiveness. If you think it is, check your Webster. Remission is kind of like a buying back, like the waves go out from the shore. Well, what's this all about? Well, then I came across a word that was in a hymn where mercy and grace flow mingled down. What in the world is a mingling? A mingling is that you participate. And God mingles with us. That's how he does it. He doesn't take us over and make slaves out of us, but he mingles. And when he gives us the gift of the Spirit, he's really mingling with us. But on the beautiful side of this is, we mingle back. So there's a double mingling going on here. That says that I belong to him. I covet the mingling. Have any of you been mingled with? Sure you have. Some of you didn't understand it at the time. Some of the people call it being in the Holy Spirit. But you're not really, in a sense, in the Holy Spirit. You're mingled with the Holy Spirit, which means that you're part of God at the mingling point. And that's not all bad, because if you're alive in Christ, you're alive to the mingling effect of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you begin to want that and to covet it. Which, you know, the Last Supper, Jesus made a vow. This is a new covenant that's in my blood. He committed himself. He made a pledge and a promise to them and through them to us. And so often when I have people do communion, they're always thinking about what Jesus has done for them. But they never think about what I can do in response to the mingling that's going on in me. And John says you have communion this Sunday, and this is a good time to try it. When you come forward to take the bread and the cup, Ask yourself, what kind of a pledge can I make to this God? What can I do, or what can I have him do for me that'll make a difference in my life? And if I allow him to mingle, guess who still has the authority to do the acting? You do. And it's when you're acting in Christ that the greatest blessings come. Now, that's kind of the vow that I think we ought to make. That, Lord, I want something to happen. I want to pledge myself to that and to let it happen. If the real life starts with the mingling, we got it made. Because you covet it more and more all the time. You're not running away from God's people. You're running toward them. You're not running away from the kind of obedience God wants. You're running toward it. And the obedience is centered smack dab in the mingling process. I'm still me. Yeah, I am. I've been me a long time. But I'm not the same me I was when I got mingled. And that makes the difference. And I covet that mingling. Devotions, whatever, mingling, yeah. And when I can feel the presence of God mingling with me, I know that I'm okay, regardless of what happens. John, are we ready for communion? John's ready for communion. Means he wants to go home. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he passed it among them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken to you." After the same manner, he also took the cup and said, "This is the new promise that's in my blood. As oft as you drink it, you show forth the manner of my death until I come again." Now, this is what we're doing. We're showing forth Christ's crucifixion. And he says to them, "I'm not going to eat it and drink it with you until we're in the New Jerusalem, paradise." So there's a promise hooked onto that thing. And when he mingles with us, that promise becomes more real. I have a lady that says her heart stopped beating on 6 occasions. And on each occasion, she went to heaven. Heaven is not where you go, but that's the popular word for it. And there sat a big, long table full of food. And at the other end of it was her dad and mom and her brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts that died. Well, that's a typical out-of-body experience. And it's not what's going to happen to you when you go to paradise. And the first thing I get when I go to paradise, I'm going to see the one who mingled with me. I am. I won't be able to see him because he'll be in shiny bright light that'll put my eyes out if I look too close. Paul had that experience. I don't need that. But this thing is real. It's so real when we covet the mingling that it's life. It's resurrection power that comes through the mingling to us. John will probably talk about that later. But yeah, it's great to be a Christian. It is. Somebody said, "Aren't you kind of stupid to be a Christian?" Well, I said, when you get older, stupid wears off and you just become a Christian. Stupid is for young people. Well, John, would you pray for the bread and the cup?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, and upon this the gift of the bread and the wine that would be for us the body and blood of Christ Jesus, that we would be the body and blood of Christ to the world. We ask that you'd then receive all honor, glory, and power, for it's yours now and forever. Amen.
Do you want them to pull that apart, or?
I'll bust it the first time.
You bust it.
Break it. Actually, the word was bust in Greek. Bust, it was ripped. busted. His body was busted for us. Tore, mangled.
I'm not like everybody else, but John's given me charge to do something with this. So I say, as you feel led to come, come. And that means you take a little time to pray and what you want God to do for you while you're doing something for God. Think it through. And then come and commune with us. Yeah, better go first.
Mm-hmm. We have open communion in the United Methodist Church, which means anyone from any denomination, regardless of age, as long as you trust Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, you're welcome at this table.